Great. Great blessing to be with you this morning. Consider it a great blessing. As I said, I do love your pastor, and as he's traveled, I don't know, we came across each other throughout the years, and then he has come over in our country a couple times now. We're thankful for his gift. It's a great blessing also. I was so glad whenever he told me that Brother John Scott would be here as well. Brother John is, you know, from Texas and Georgia. It's a pretty good distance, so we don't see each other too much. But I have enjoyed getting to know him a little better. I appreciate his gift, and just ask that y'all pray for me and him as well this morning, and all of us as we go forward. I want to go to 1 Peter as an introduction. chapter 1, verse 11 we'll start in. Well, verse 10. Of which, you can't start there. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Last night I mentioned there in the 24th chapter of Luke where Jesus himself told them, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And he's telling us here that the Spirit of Christ, which was in the prophets, testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And it says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the thing which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Then it says this phrase, which things the angels desire to look into. That's kind of what's on my mind this morning. Some instances where I believe in Scripture that we have angels asking questions of our Savior. Two I'm pretty sure of. The third we're going to say it this morning. Someone asked it, I'll say. But it's no doubt the angels have desired to look into these things. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ didn't come to save angels. He came to save man. He came to save us. Angels, they don't understand it. As much as they do understand, they don't understand the love he has for someone who transgressed his law, and yet he sent his son to die for us. It says these things the angels desired to look into. The first place I want to go is in Isaiah chapter 63. All of these instances are in the Old Testament. Isaiah 63, we have a question here. It says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. And then the answer, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Question, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? Answer, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. I'll stop there and just say there was another possibility of a subject of mine, and that was the fury of the Lord and the joy of the Lord. In Hebrews, it tells us who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. What was that joy? That joy was you and me. That joy was seeing his people ransomed and brought back in full fellowship with God. That was the joy of our Lord. But here he says, I will trample mine anger and trample them in my fury. And later on, I'll just keep reading and get back to fury in a minute. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Verse 5, and I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. I said, the angels have desired to look into it, this thing. And I believe the angels were saying, who is this that cometh from Edom with their dyed garments? And here he says, I looked and there was none to uphold. While angels desired to look into these things, we have times and proof in Scripture where we see angels came and ministered to the Son of God whenever he was tempted of the devil. You know when that happened? Oh, that happened. If anyone tells you, you come join the church, because it's going to be a bed of roses from then on. You don't believe that. You come join the church because he told you to. He told you to take up your cross and follow me. But brothers and sisters, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was baptized in Jordan River. The heavens were opened. He saw the Spirit of God descend upon him like a dove. He heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What a beautiful time that was. The very next chapter, he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, the closer we get, the more the devil hates it. He cannot have our life. He cannot, just like God told the devil concerning Job, you cannot touch his life, but he can touch and get between our fellowship with the Lord in our daily walks. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's something that scares me. It really does. One of my favorite verses in Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's what I want, brothers and sisters. I know, I trust, I have a hope that I am his, and someday I'll be with him in heaven. But it scares me to know what kind of person I am. And I feel like Jonathan told David, I'm just a footstep from death, from separation. In time, not eternally, but just, I'm just that far, just one step, one word, one thing I could do to remove me from the fellowship of his church. But brothers and sisters, that's my desire, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. But my point is that the tempter comes. He came to Jesus right after he was baptized. Oh, but that says, it tells us there that the angels came and ministered unto him after that. It tells us that when the Lord Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, angels came and ministered unto him. But what we're talking about is angels desiring to look into these things. And they look and they say, who is this? In verse 5, he says, I looked and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. God loves you so much, he was furious at what stood between us and him, and that was our sin. He had a joy set before him that he endured the cross that we would be with. But he was furious. I'm reminded of old David. Whenever he came and Goliath was spewing his spiel down there in that valley. And David says, I love the boldness of that lad. Oh, me and Brother Scott were talking about young ministers. And I reckon, I've been ordained 11 years, not too long compared to some. But I'm not a kid anymore. Anyway, we were talking about the boldness in some young gifts he's seen. I tell you, when the Lord anoints someone, there's a boldness. Now there's a humility. Lord, help us to be humble. But I tell you, when the Spirit gets a hold, there's a boldness in proclaiming the gospel. And David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Oh, his brothers didn't understand it because they didn't have that anointing that had just happened to David, the lad. And they says, we know the naughtiness of thy heart. You've just come to see the battle. And David says, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? I tell you, brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus declared it. The first words we have from him in Scripture was as he was 12 years old, when his parents, when Joseph and Mary had wandered off and left him, and they found him again 3 days later. There's a lesson. You might wonder, a day off, it's going to take you 3 days to get back. So don't wander off. Anyway, they found him 3 days later, and they says, why have you dealt with us this way? We've sought you sorrowfully. He says, how is it you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my father's business? He declared right then what he had come into this world for. John chapter 12, he says, now is my soul exceedingly sorrowful, but what shall I say? Father, deliver me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Oh, he had a cause, and there was joy for him, and there was a fury at the enemy that stood against his people. So here we have them asking, who is this? And he says, I looked and there was none to help. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Who is this? Now I want to go to Zechariah. Where another question is asked. Zechariah chapter 13. Verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? I tell you, Zechariah is rich. It is rich. What are these wounds that are in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded by my enemies. That's not what he says. What are these wounds in thine hands? Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. His friends, Brother Ronnie. Where do you go when you're in trouble in this world? You want to call a friend, don't you? The Lord Jesus says, I looked and there was none to help. I looked and there was none to behold, to uphold. It tells us in Isaiah 53, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Where were his friends? Even Peter followed, it says, afar off. That's no place to follow the Lord, brothers and sisters. He followed afar off. Oh, I would that we would be there. But he says, these wounds that are in my hands, I receive them in the house of my friends. Joseph, who was he betrayed by? His own brothers. His own brothers sold him into slavery. They wanted to kill him because they were jealous. It tells us about the Lord Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Isaiah 49. Can a woman, verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Oh, brothers and sisters, we are graven. Those wounds which we gave him, but we're also graven on the palms of his hands. They are ever before him. That's how, oh, I forgot who I heard preach about. Who was it the other day? I don't remember. Someone got in a little discussion. And they, with someone that says, oh, I guess you're going to tell us that you're going to quote to me that no man can pluck us out of his hands. He goes, yeah, well, that's a good one. I think it was Brother James Conley. Well, that's a good one. That's a good one to quote. I think they were arguing over once saved, always saved. People, they asked me that. I'm like, yeah, I believe it. I also believe how I got saved is a lot different than how you think we got saved. But he says, I guess you're going to say, quote that. He goes, well, I was going to quote something else, but that's a pretty good one. He goes, well, we can't, no man can get us out, pluck us out of his hand, but we can jump out. Well, I guess that, I'm a man. You're saying I can get myself out of the hand of God. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we are engraven on the palms of his hands. He says, oh, listen to this question. What are these wounds in thine hands? Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Then it says this, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. My fellow means equal. Against the man that is my equal. Now, who is saying this? Saith the Lord of hosts. He's saying, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Protection. Oh, but this is the judgment of God, which we all deserved for eternity. But it was awoken, if you will, and it was poured out upon the Lord, the Father's fellow, which is the Son, Jesus Christ. Awake, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Brothers and sisters, just like last night we talked about in the previous chapter of Zechariah, that we might look upon him whom we pierced. Here it says, what? The question's asked, what are these wounds in thy hands? He says, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Angels have desired to look into this salvation story, if you will. They don't like, some folks at home don't like it when I use the word story, but there's true stories. It's an account. But angels have desired to look into these things. And the last place I want to go to is in Psalms 24. Oh, I love this. I remember I heard Brother James Isaacs preach this a few years ago. And man, I couldn't preach it enough after that. It's also every time I'm in his presence, I feel like I preach it. He told me one, you can work that into anything, can't you? I was like, well, it's worth it. It's beautiful. But there's a question here. I want you to consider before I start reading this, back over in Acts, the day of Pentecost where we talked about last night. Right before that happened, you remember Jesus, after being on the earth for about 40 days, he went back into heaven. And you know, I try to think of this whenever maybe I'm at the bedside of a loved one who's passing away. And I try to think, this is what we're seeing here, but there's something else happening that we cannot see. That they're going somewhere. Well, Jesus, it says he ascended up into the clouds. And two angels in white apparel says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? I reckon they were. I would have stayed there too until someone told me to move along. To see the place where my Lord went into the clouds? He says, why stand ye gazing? This same man that ascended will descend in like manner. But there was a time, he wasn't just going into the clouds, brothers and sisters. He was going back home to heaven. And I believe we have here a picture, or we have an account, if you will, of him coming back into heaven. A question is asked. Verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And the question is asked, who is this King of glory? And the answer is the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Oh, I tell you, brothers and sisters, when he ascended there on that day in Acts chapter 1, and he went up into heaven, oh, he came in as a victor. He came in. I've listened to stories. My granddaddy was a medic in World War II, and he talks about them whenever they took over Rome and freed Rome, liberated Rome. And he says they were coming down the streets of Rome, and he was in a truck, and some about 15-year-old boy jumped up on the side rail of that and took his ring off his hand and put it on my granddad's hand. I have that ring now to this day, the ring that they gave because they were the victors coming in, liberating them. I tell you, just imagine how much better it is in heaven when the Lord Jesus Christ came after defeating all the foes that stood against his people, and he comes into heaven and they says, strong and mighty, that's who he is. That is the King of glory. But then the question is, it just looks like this exact same thing. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Oh, they're going to repeat it. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in, just like it said a while ago. But then it says, who is this King of glory? But the answer is different. Why is it different? Because I'll tell you this. How many times is the Lord going back home? Twice. Twice. And here we have twice, and it says the answer is different this time. He was the Lord mighty in battle, strong the first time, but now he's got a new name. The name, he had the name the whole time, but they're going to call him a certain name this time. Who is this King of glory? And it says the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Why on that second coming back is he called the Lord of hosts? Because he's going to be the Lord of hosts. He's going to have so many people with him. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I believe that in all things Christ shall have the preeminence. And I believe in his family he shall have the preeminence. I'm not going to tell you how many are going to be in heaven, but I believe it's a lot. I believe it's more than that are going to be there than are not. I believe, don't you, for 1 minute, I believe in eternal hell and there's going to be people there. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, someday, all of your loved ones who you've said goodbye, and us too, I hope, it's my hope and desire, like the Apostle Paul says, that I want to be here when he comes back. Oh, I want to go to heaven, Brother Ronnie, but I'd just soon not die to get there. I tell you, come quickly, Lord. Come today and take us home to be with him forevermore, and we're going to come in to heaven behind the Lord of hosts. We are his train and he's coming in, brothers and sisters. He is that King of glory. They ask these questions. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Come ahead, Brother John.